Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're looking at verses 1 to 7. What we're doing in this past week and today as well is we're going through verses that relate to this discipleship process, discipleship plan that several people in the church are doing. Last week we looked at necessity and nature of being born again. And in the evening we looked at the gospel presentation. And today we're looking at the balanced Christian life. From 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. If you have a sermon outline that was given out there, if not, there are more at the back there. You can pick one up. Let's come to God's Word in prayer first. Let's pray together. Father, Your Word is open before us today, and we thank You that we have Your holy, infallible Word. We can trust that whenever it is opened to be preached, You are speaking to us. And may You open our ears to hear, even myself, Lord, whatever You have for us to teach us today. And to strengthen our hearts, our faith, to grow in grace. May You bless Your people today through the ministry of Your Word and by the power of Your Holy Spirit. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 1 to 7. Here is the word of God. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs or involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. There's a theory that is called the theory of the 6 degrees of separation. Have you heard of that theory before? That you are 6 introductions away from every person on the planet. In your social network, connected with everyone else's social network, there are only 6 degrees between you and the world. The mission to the world then starts with you. In your social network, who are those people? Your friends, your relatives, acquaintances, co-workers, neighbors, even strangers that you meet. It begins with you and through you to the world. Picture a social network diagram theory, or the theory diagram. There are nodes all over in this diagram, and each node is tied together with ties. And you're one node. Another person is another node. And that's what ties you together, those ties. So if you have that picture of that diagram, well, the Lord has entrusted the gospel to you, right with you. In that node, you are entrusted with the gospel. Is that gospel then being passed on to those other people in your social network? You might say, I'm not an evangelist. I'm not gifted in this way. Or you might say, even with this text that we're reading here today in 2 Timothy, this is not a word for me. This was a letter written to one person. But we should know that all of Scripture is profitable, is useful for us to be equipped. And that is my work as a minister of the gospel, is to equip you. I'm serving you and equipping you to have what? A strong gospel ministry to those people in your social network. And here it is. This is the main point. To have a strong gospel ministry, you need to be strong. Be strong. Pass it on. And keep on keeping on. First of all, be strong. Be strengthened by grace. That grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strengthened by grace. Grace. You hear this word all the time. Grace. What is grace? Two words to define grace. Undeserved forgiveness or undeserved favor. That's grace. Grace is unmerited. We demerit this grace. We are unworthy of anything good, any favor from God. This is the gospel. In Romans 5, the gospel is this. That God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, ungodly, weak, Christ died for us. That's grace. That we are freely given forgiveness in Christ. Favor in the eyes of God and His love. That is grace. It's freely given to us. And this gift that is to us now in this text is strength by grace. We are given strength freely offered to us. And Paul came to understand this himself very personally. He talks about a thorn in his flesh, something that tormented him. He prayed three times, begging God to take that thorn away from him. And the Lord says to him these words, "My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is perfected in weakness." It's perfected in weakness, not in strength, but in weakness. So Paul says, "I will boast all the more in my weakness, so that that power will rest upon me." He's boasting in his weakness so that he might have this strength by grace. So like Paul, this grace is given to us for our gospel ministry. However, when we are serving the Lord in a gospel ministry, we pour ourselves out until at times our energies, our strength is completely sapped away from us until we enter into very dry periods of our lives and we are burnt out. And that's only when we have not gone to Christ in His grace to be refilled in Him. That's what happens. And that's what happened to me. And I'll share with you very honestly, and maybe it'll be maybe too often for some people, but things that I've experienced in my own life for decade of my life in South Sudan, where I poured myself out in gospel ministry until I had nothing left. I thought that youthful zeal and vision was enough, but I drove myself into the ground for 3 and 4 years until I had nothing left. I was empty. And I could have told myself, "Be strong," but I had nothing to give. And it was only until I began to stop and to come to Christ and to receive His grace. I picked up a book on spiritual disciplines, took half a day off a week, and I began to read about prayer and the Word and fasting and all of these means of grace. And I began to be strengthened again in His grace. Now, how's your tank here today? You have a gospel ministry, I hope. Is your tank half or is it fully empty? How's your tank today as you minister to your children, as parents, as you're ministering to your friends and neighbors and relatives? How's your tank now in the gospel ministry that you have? Well, Christ welcomes you to receive that grace for free refill. So we leak and we need to be refilled by His grace. So Christ says, "Be strong in me. And the strength of my grace that's made perfect in weakness." So the first thing is for us to acknowledge our weakness, to recognize that we don't have what it takes. We don't have the strength in us, but He will give it to us in His grace. And how does that come to us? Just as it did for me in South Sudan, it is through the means, the ordinary means of grace. What are those ordinary means? The word, prayer, and sacrament. When you take this word and you read and you study and you memorize and you meditate upon the word, that is grace to you. And when you respond to God's word in prayer, praise, thanksgiving, confession, intercession, praying for others, that is a means of grace to you. And if you have not been baptized, then that's grace to you when you are baptized. And when you come to the Lord's Supper, the bread and the cup, remembering Christ's death, feeding upon Him in faith, that is grace to you. These are all means of grace to strengthen you for your gospel ministry. So, be strong in this grace that is in Christ Jesus. Do you see this absolute dependence that you have on this grace? To be strengthened by the gospel of grace, to have a strong gospel ministry. Paul understood this very, very clearly. If you look at chapter 1, verse 12, and go through these verses quickly, he knew that he was entrusted with the gospel. And then he writes, in verse 12, he says, I'm convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. And then he knows that, as he reminds Timothy in verse 13, to keep the pattern of sound teaching, the faith and love that is in Christ Jesus. That is what we believe in, the gospel and all its implications. And then he says to Timothy to guard the good deposit that was entrusted to him. To guard that good deposit, the fullness of the gospel, to guard it for himself. And these are the things he's saying in chapter 2, verse 2. The things that Timothy heard in the presence of many hearers, many witnesses, he was to guard. And that was entrusted to him, but not just for himself, but he was to pass it on. That's the second point. Pass it on. Entrust this gospel to others. Verse 2. Pass it on. Entrust the gospel to others. This gospel is so valuable. It is not to be kept for himself, but it is to be passed on to everyone. In every generation, you're to be strong in the gospel so that you can pass it on. And entrusting it, committing it, assigning responsibility to others with that gospel. Now, the first meaning here in this text is that Paul is speaking to Timothy, telling him to entrust this gospel to faithful and reliable men. Faithful and reliable men. Who are those people? You'll find them in the qualifications in 1 Timothy chapter 3. These are men who are able to teach others. These are elders in the church. That's the first meaning here, that he's to find those faithful ones who are able to teach others. But we also have a principle here for all of us in gospel ministry, and that's the principle of multiplication. Look at this. We have a principle of exponential multiplication. There are how many generations here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2? Paul is speaking to Timothy, Timothy being the first generation of disciple. And Timothy is to entrust to faithful and reliable men. That's the second generation. And they are able then to teach others. That's the third generation. That's how the gospel exponentially grows and is passed on. That's the principle of multiplication. Now the consequence, the dire consequence of the gospel not being passed on, not being entrusted, is extinction. And you find many places in the world today where there is no gospel preaching. Extinction. And you know what? Even in Canada, 40 years ago, the RP Church in Canada was whittled down to two congregations. And at one time, there were over 100 congregations of the RP Church in Canada. So what happened? Scottish ministers came to Canada, planted churches. They did not pass on and trust the gospel to Canadians. And so there was a negative growth curve for 100 years, whittled down to two congregations in Almont and in Lochiel. You've probably never heard of it outside of Ottawa here. Until a man came to Ottawa, seen a picture of him in those days, wearing blue jeans, a white t-shirt, and an afro, from the Bronx, New York City Jew. And he came to Ottawa with his family in 1981 with a vision of Christ's dominion from sea to sea. And he came here to train men for the ministry. That's why we have Ottawa Theological Hall. And from here, men went out and planted churches. And it went from a negative growth curve of church growth to now positive church growth. But we're not done. The vision is still alive because Jesus Christ has dominion now from sea to sea. And God will raise up men for the ministry in Canada. That's His vision. It's His church in Canada. And He will do it. I'm convinced because that is His vision. And it starts with you. It starts with you being strengthened in that grace and passing on that gospel and trusting that gospel to others. Now, it's so much more than just sharing the gospel. We must do that, but it's entrusting the gospel to faithful people, reliable people. Who are those people in your life? Can you think of even one person in your life that you can entrust the gospel, whether it be your children or someone you know you can entrust that gospel? Someone who is trustworthy. Now, out of 10 people, or maybe just be one person or two people, who are those faithful people in your life? Who is your Timothy? If you're Paul, who's your Timothy that you can entrust the gospel, you can disciple? Then we will see exponential growth. Now, making disciples, training Timothys, is the hardest thing in this world. There's nothing harder. But this is a call, this call to service is a call to endure, a call to suffer hardship as we pass on the baton. It's not an easy passing on a baton and then dropping out of the race. It is running the race with those people to the third and fourth generation. And so if you are Paul, who's your Timothy? Who are you running that race with? So that is that second essential component of the gospel ministry. The first was, be strong by grace. The second one is, pass it on and trust to faithful men and women. And now the third essential component of gospel ministry is to keep on keeping on. Endure hardship for the gospel. Verses 3 to 6. Endure hardship for the gospel. How do we endure? Paul gives three analogies of enduring hardship. Three pictures here. The first is a good soldier. The second, an athlete. And the third, a hardworking farmer. First, a good soldier, verses 3 to 4. A good soldier is one who is single-minded, undistracted in his or her commitment to their commanding officer. Now, a good Christian soldier is one who knows that there is suffering and will endure the suffering in their loyalty to Christ. This is what we know. Even Paul says that whoever wishes to live a godly life, what will happen to that person? They will be persecuted. And Jesus said that if they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. There is persecution. There is suffering for all those who wish to live this godly life as a good soldier. But the soldier, the good soldier, is not deterred. He has one purpose, to please Christ, the commander. Now, how concentrated are you to following the commander's orders, carrying out these orders? There's a book that was written by a man called David Wilkerson. The book is called The Cross and the Switchblade. I'm not sure if you've read that before. Well, he speaks of the time where he had his first pastorate in a country church in 1958. He had a very fruitful ministry, but he became quite discontent. And he was sitting at home watching TV one night, and he thought, I spend 2 hours watching TV every night, and I could be doing something better. He sold his TV, and he prayed for those 2 hours instead. And those times of prayer and Bible reading, God spoke these orders to him, where he was to go to Newark City and find gangs there that he had read about in Time magazine, and he was to bring Christ to them, a gospel ministry to these addicts, these gangs. And he started a ministry called Team Challenge that grew since then, now is in how many countries? 80 countries in the world called Team Challenge, ministering to drug addicts around the world. And it began with listening to God and those orders from his commanding officer to go to New York City. Now, you are a soldier. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have been enlisted in the Lord's army, whether you like it or not, as you are a Christian. Now, to be a good soldier, understanding that Christ is worthy of your undeterred, undistracted loyalty and commitment. He is worthy. But then there are so many things in this world, civilian affairs, worldly concerns that distract us. Can you think of those things? I'm sure you know them. They distract me. Social media, movies, video games, you name it. What are those things that distract you from being entirely devoted and loyal to Christ, your commander? If they are there in your life, cutting them off and replacing them with those things, good gospel ministry that will please your commander, being a good soldier of the Lord. That's the first analogy. The second is to be an athlete in verse 5. An athlete must compete according to the rules, must compete lawfully. Otherwise, the athlete will be disqualified and not get the prize in the end. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9 that he runs to get the prize. He doesn't run aimlessly, but he disciplines his body to keep it under control, lest as he preaches, he would be disqualified. There are no shortcuts for the Christian as an athlete for gaining the prize, the victor's crown, that is only through discipline as an athlete. In 1998, I sat in front of the TV and watched what I thought was my hero, a man called Ben Johnson. And he ran the 100-meter sprint in world record time. And I cheered my heart. I was so proud to be a Canadian. 3 days later, breaking news on TV that Ben Johnson was tested positive for steroids. And what shame it brought to me and to millions of Canadians. He cheated. And he was disqualified from that race. His world record and his gold medal was stripped from him. All because he cheated. He didn't compete as an athlete according to the rules. How many leaders in the church today, because of moral failure, are disqualified? We need men in the church who are these kind of athletes. And members in the church who will not be disqualified as athletes in this race of life. We have a standard. We have God's moral law. When we make disciples of our Timothys, of these people in our lives in gospel ministry, we are asking them to obey everything that Jesus has commanded. We are telling them, commanding them to do this. Well, we better give the best example possible to them to follow, because they're looking at us. we're running in the race ahead of them. And they're looking to us. And then all of us, if we run this race like these athletes, to gain the prize, we'll receive a crown in the end. There's a crown of life. There's a crown of glory. There's a crown of righteousness to be had for all those who have finished this race as this kind of athlete, running according to the rules. Now, the third analogy is the hardworking farmer in verse 6. We read about the hardworking farmer. The hardworking farmer is the one who sows with sweat. And that one is going to share in the harvest. He will share in the harvest. He will enjoy the fruit of his or her labor. And the opposite is the one who's a sluggard, who's lazy, who got nothing. There's no harvest for that person. But for the one who works hard, who is patient in the work, will receive what is promised. In Psalm 126:5, it says, "Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy." Sowing in tears will then reap a harvest. Again, I'll speak of our time in South Sudan. In doing gospel ministry, for the first few years, we sowed with tears, many literal tears. But after some years, we began to see the first fruits. And now we're seeing a harvest of souls. And that has brought me to be convinced of this verse. Those who sow in tears will see a harvest if you endure as a hardworking farmer. So, in the gospel ministry, let us not grow weary in entrusting the gospel to these people. So in due season, you will reap a harvest. So in this gospel ministry that you have, we must endure this kind of hardship, this kind of suffering that is before us. As a good soldier, like a good soldier that is undistracted in devotion, as an athlete who runs to win the prize, the crown, without being disqualified, and as a hardworking farmer who labors hard for the Lord and will enjoy the harvest. Now, do you understand these things? Is this, as you reflect on these things, do you see how Paul is connecting these three analogies to show us to be strong, to pass on the gospel to others? This requires some thinking. And this is what he says in verse 7, to reflect on these things. And the Lord will give you understanding. So think for understanding. Think for understanding. That's the last point, the conclusion. Timothy was to personally think, reflect, meditate upon what Paul was saying. He was to think over these things. And when he does, the Lord would give him insight. He would give him wisdom in what he is saying. You see how this, there's a part for us. And our part is to think, to meditate, to use our minds to think on these things. And the Lord's part is to give us understanding by His Spirit. As we work together, we will have wisdom and insight into all these things. This is how Jesus spoke to His disciples in His final words to them in Luke 24. He says, "Everything must be fulfilled that is written in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then it says, "He opened their minds to understand these things, the scriptures." He summarizes then the gospel message. This is the gospel message. Listen to the gospel. Christ suffered on the cross. And then he was raised on the third day. That's the gospel message. And then there's the gospel call. In Luke 24, verse 46, he says, "The repentance, the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem." The gospel message, Jesus' death and resurrection. The gospel call to repent and believe. Those are the words that were entrusted to these disciples. Then entrusted to Paul And that gospel message was passed on from generation to generation over 2,000 years, and it has reached you here in Ottawa, Canada. It has been entrusted to you here in this church. You have the gospel. You've heard the gospel. It is yours now, not to keep for yourself, but to pass it on. And for those who have yet to receive this gospel message, the call goes out to you to turn from sin and to trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. It's offered, that free grace is offered to all those who would receive it in Jesus Christ. It is yours, this gospel, to take by faith and to be entrusted to you. And not to keep it to you alone. I love new believers because they just pass it on. They find anyone they can meet to pass it on. But for you who have been believers for so long, find those people who are faithful and reliable, who can take it and bring it to others. You have been entrusted with the gospel. What about if today, this week, you call someone up and you say, I want to meet with you. Let's sit down and let's talk about the gospel. And let's see how this gospel can spread rapidly between you and me from here. For the sake of Christ, for the sake of His kingdom, for the sake of His glory, this is gospel ministry for us. So, be strong in this gospel ministry by His grace. Pass it on. Pass it on. Entrust it to others. And endure hardship. Keep on keeping on by His grace. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for this amazing grace that we have in Your Son, Jesus Christ. We receive it as it is freely offered to us. We know that we can bring nothing to You. It is utterly, we are undeserving. But Lord, will You pour out Your grace upon our lives? Thank You for the word that has gone out as a seed that is sown. And may it bear fruit in people's lives here today. And may You be glorified in the extension of Your kingdom and the building up of Your church, even from sea to sea. Father, we thank You for blessing us, strengthening us in Your grace this day. We thank You all and through the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.